The Cincinnati Reds come out of left field and trade for Gavin Lux. What an interesting pickup. We're going to talk about it right here on First Pitch. Well, I've been begging for new teams to finally make some noise in the offseason, and we finally get one. Welcome in, everyone, the First Pitch, your MLB Daily Recap right here on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. I'm Christian Rau. You can find me on Twitter at @FirstPitch_MLB. Joined with me tonight, Troy Brock. Find him at Troy B Baseball. And Troy, the Cincinnati Reds go ahead and make a trade with the good old Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers can't find themselves out of the news when it comes to MLB offseason. But they make a trade and they go ahead and move on from Gavin Lux. Going to Cincinnati, Gavin Lux goes for a competitive balance round A pick, which is going to be estimated around number 37. I think it's actually going to be around 40 to 41 when it's all said and done, based on where players like Anthony Santander go. And then outfield prospect Mike Sirota. I think that's a big piece as well. Initial reactions right off the bat, before we dig into this trade, when you saw the passing bomb, what were you thinking?
It's nice to see the Reds try and improve their team with Gavin Lux. Like Lindsay and I talked about in yesterday's episode, he had one of the best second halves out of any player in baseball. His WRC plus in the second half ranked 13th in baseball, and as the best second baseman in the sport. And so it's nice that the Reds are trying to contend in a division where the Brewers are taking a step back in 2025. And yes, the Cubs are taking a massive step forward, and they're probably still the favorites to win the division. But with the Reds' young core, who knows? We may see them be the next Baltimore Orioles, where their young core takes a massive step forward and they make a run at the playoffs and maybe at the division. And Gavin Lux may be that missing piece they needed. And he's hit really well in Great American Ballpark, so we'll see.
I feel like you're optimistic about the Reds and then also insulting them at the same time by calling them the Baltimore Orioles, because the Orioles don't make trades. So, and you made it a joke about on an actual trade. So I'm not sure if that was a nod or an insult, Troy, but no, regardless, I do think you're right. I think this is an interesting piece for Cincinnati. It shows that they are willing to make that next step forward with Terry Francona as their manager. I mean, I think we all kind of had the idea that once he took the helm and took over for this organization, moving on from David Bell, he wasn't going to mess around. Like he was going to get this team, which was already an interesting spot in last year, with the exception of some pitching injuries and some outfield woes. He was going to get this team into a playoff contention. At least I had no doubts in my mind once I heard the hire. I was like, well, that's a jackpot of a hire. And then you go ahead and make trades like this to Gavin Lux. And right off the bat, my reaction was honestly, why? Like, okay, because in my mind, Cincinnati needs outfield help. And Gavin Lux, to me, is not an outfielder. Now, he did play some corner outfield. It wasn't the best, but the opportunity is there. And according to some MLB insiders, they are going to attempt to try Gavin Lux in multiple positions, center, middle infield, third base, outfield, DH, you name it. They're going to try him in multiple spots. So I think they just liked the idea of having Gavin Lux. They see him as a potential great piece. I mean, he was a guy that was on the World Series Dodgers last year, right? So, I mean, like, obviously, he has pedigree. He wasn't DFA'd or traded like the Dodgers had the luxury to do with so many other players at that time, right? So, I think that this is an interesting piece for Cincinnati. But again, my first initial reactions were, why? Because you need an outfielder. You don't need a plethora of middle infielders that you already have. This leaves multiple players, in my mind, on the cusp of being potentially still traded from Cincinnati for some other positions. And I think we could probably talk about that here on this show today. Why don't I just start off right now? I think Marte is the odd man out as of right now. I think if you look at it, what the kind of year he had, obviously he's one of the most upcoming prospects, but I think you could willingly move on from him to get some outfield talent. I saw one rumor online. I think this would be a really fun piece. Trading with the Yankees for Jason Dominguez. I think that'd be a really fun piece. I don't think the Yankees would do it, but I think that'd be a fun one. And then you got guys like Taylor Ward, who's been out there as a potential trade move. I mean, Marte for Taylor Ward would be really interesting. And then obviously you got the Chicago White Sox pieces of like you know, Benintendi or Robert. You could make some kind of package there. That's where my mind initially goes, is I think you got to move Marte for some outfield help. What do you think?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, because even though they've made it clear already that they're going to try Gavin Lux in the outfield, he's not going to work in the outfield with his arm. He has an arm strength in 2024 of 75 miles per hour on average, which ranked in the 7th percentile in Major League Baseball. And there's a guy we're going to be talking about pretty soon on this episode, and Gavin Lux's arm is worse than his, and I was kind of surprised to see that. But I agree with you. I wouldn't mind seeing Luis Robert Jr. in Great American Small Park. I think he would do a lot of damage there. I've also always been high on Andrew Benintendi. I've kind of not been knocked back down a peg on him over the past couple of years, and maybe it's just because he's been with the Chicago White Sox, and that's where talent goes to die. But it's just they do need more outfielders, and who knows, maybe they'll be like the San Diego Padres and have 48 shortstops that just play every other position on the field except shortstop, and then have trouble finding one to actually play shortstop. We'll find out soon enough.
I was digging through the teams before we started the show tonight, just trying to think of some potential outfielder ideas. And this one popped up to me, and I don't think it's likely, but I figured we should pull his name up anyways. He's a fan favorite of yours. But do you think there's an opportunity that maybe the Toronto Blue Jays finally give up on the idea of building around and maybe move on from a guy like George Springer? You think Cincinnati would go ahead and take a contract like that, willing to do so? And I think Marte would fit well in Toronto with the ideas of potentially losing Bo Bichette in the offseason.
I honestly do like that a lot. I think George Springer would be a fantastic veteran to add to that roster in Cincinnati, because like I already said, it's a pretty young roster, especially offensively. And if you get a guy like George Springer in there who has, like Gavin Lux, a championship pedigree already, and he's much, much older than Gavin Lux. George Springer's in his 30s. Gavin Lux is 27. In his 30s, much like you and I. But if you get George Springer in there, he'd be a great leader for that clubhouse. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's just a baller, dude. He's just a baseball guy. And that's the kind of guys you need, especially as a leader for a young core.
If you could find a resurgence of George Springer, and you're putting him to a Great American Ballpark in his older years, if you could find a way for him to resurge and be the leadoff hitter right in front of Belly De La Cruz, to me, that's an interesting idea. So hopefully they need to look at that. Obviously, TJ Friedel would probably hurt in that aspect, but he's a great defender. He could be a defensive replacement, and he's obviously a left-handed off the bench. There's still a spot for him. But to me, if I was the GM in this case, I would potentially look at the money on the books and think if a guy like George Springer is worth it. Obviously, you could maybe think Toronto could keep some money. But I do like that. I was kind of just thinking about it, but now that we've talked about it in discussion, I think it's a really good idea the more we dig into it. When I look at this Reds team, though, when you talk about the infield, obviously Ellie De La Cruz can play shortstop. There was an opportunity that maybe, you know, there's some talks or some rumors that maybe you'd move him to third base. I don't think that's likely. Matt McClain, obviously coming back from injury, he's going to be the guy that'll probably shift around as well with Gavin Lux, second base, third base, you know, outfield, you name it. To me, this team, I think, has a prime opportunity in one of the biggest question marks of a division to compete for the NL Central lead in 2025. And I don't think Gavin Lux was the deciding factor for me to make that decision, by the way. I just think if you can have its young core make one more step up with all the injuries they occurred last year, if you can answer that outfield piece, which they haven't yet, and you can get some health out of your pitching core with the aspects of Hunter Green, who was playing Cy Young baseball before he was injured last season, I think this team could be your NL Central winner in 2025.
Yeah, no, I definitely think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people are looking at them the way that they should. And if they can stay healthy in 2025, then they're going to definitely be a contender for the NL Central. I still think it's going to be hard to overtake the Cubs with what they've done this offseason, but I definitely think the Cincinnati Reds are going to be up there. Real quick on the George Springer thing, he's got 2 years, $48 million left on his contract. Their current payroll with projected arbitration figures, I don't know why that's always so hard for me to say that, is $96 million. So they have less than $100 million projected after arbitration. He would also be their highest paid player should they trade for him, after ranking right above Nick Martinez by about $3 million. But I mean,
you did a one for one trade. If you did a one for one trade with Marte and Springer, Toronto would have to keep some of that money, and you'd be able to bring Springer in. I think there's a deal that could be made there.
Yeah, they could knock it down to just an even $20 million. Let Toronto keep four on each year, pay him $20 million each year. But even still, they'd still be under $125 million on the books, even with their projected arbitration. But regardless, this Gavin Lux deal is really good. You know, one might say that the Cincinnati Reds are living the life of luxury.
Well, on that note, let's segue on over to another infielder. Yeah, you couldn't even hold it in. That was such a good one, right? Oh boy. Let's segue on over to let's move on over to another infielder that's been in some talks for potential trade rumors, right? The New York Yankees obviously were in consideration. You can't have to put your mute button on that you can't stop laughing. That's a good one. You are so funny to yourself. I love it. I love it. That's when you know a dad joke is good, is when you're the only one laughing. That's when you know. That's what you know, because your humor is just too sophisticated for everybody else. So while you're getting yourself caught up, let me go ahead and bring in this new segue here, this new topic. Luis Arraez is the next person we need to talk about. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Go ahead.
Oh, should I continue? Luis Arraez is the next person I want to talk about here. The New York Yankees, obviously, obviously not getting Gavin Lux in the conversation. There were some talks that they were interested in him. They need to answer the middle infield questions as well. Obviously, Gleyber Torres no longer there, signs with Detroit Tigers. Luis Arraez has been a name that has been moved around. Possibilities of San Diego cutting payroll. There's a whole conversation moving on with San Diego now with the Preller family starting some lawsuits that started today as well. We're not going to dig too much into that on today's show. I'd like to get our legalist, Lindsey Crosby, on at some point to discuss that. But Luis Arraez has been in the trade rumors. And we have seen either the possibility of him maybe moving to the Yankees somewhere else. Now, John Heyman, right before we got on the show tonight, talked about how there's a potential that the teams and Luis Arraez don't mix. The Yankees don't see a fit with Luis Arraez. I know where I want him to go. I want to see him get traded, but I know you have some strong thoughts about this guy. So before we dig into his potential trade spots, because I do think he's going to be moved yet again, what do you think about the hitting king, right, of Luis Arraez?
Yeah, for those of you that, you know, are on Twitter daily like me and may or may not follow me on Twitter at Troy P. Baseball, you may or may not have seen a couple things I've said about Luis Arraez over the past few days. I am not a Luis Arraez fan. I think I've made that pretty clear on Twitter. He is a one-trick pony, kind of like Pete Alonso, except the exact opposite. Whereas Pete Alonso is a one-trick pony that hits home runs, Luis Arraez is a one-trick pony who hits nothing but singles. He does nothing else well. He does not run the bases well. He does not play defense well at all. Like I said earlier, it did surprise me that Gavin Lux's arm is worse than Luis Arraez, because Luis Arraez is in the 12th percentile of Major League Baseball, whereas he ranked in the first percentile of Major League Baseball in outs above average with negative 13, and only three players ranked below him, and one of those players also had negative 13. But batting, it's 2025, people. Batting average is an antiquated stat, especially when it's as empty as Luis Arraez's is. It's cool that he hits a bunch of singles and he doesn't strike out much. Good job, I guess. But his career batting average is .323, and his career ISO is .096. That's god awful. And not only, I just realized this after the few days of arguing with countless people who are stuck in the 70s. Not only is Luis Arraez a one-trick pony who does nothing but hit singles and is best used at the bottom of somebody's lineup because he doesn't even play defense well, he'd be a rental. He is going to be a free agent after 2025, and people are talking about him like he's the second coming of Tony Gwynn or something, or Ichiro. At least Ichiro and Tony Gwynn played good defense. Like, Luis Arraez doesn't even do that. All he does is put the bat on the ball. That's it. Like, My 6-year old plays T-ball. He puts the bat on the ball. I don't want him going to the Yankees. I mean, I don't understand. Pitches per plate appearance. Somebody, it was Cameron Maben, that somebody, said that Luis Arraez puts up good at bats. Luis Arraez ranked 117th in Major League Baseball in 2024 out of 131 qualifiers, only 14 batters ranked below him in pitches per plate appearance at 3.6. That's not quality at bats, ladies and gentlemen. Your turn.
I get the data portions behind it. I really do. And in this day and age, you obviously have to pay attention. So I understand why general managers and owners want to trade him every offseason because of the projected war and the projected, you know, this projected stats moving into the season. You play the game, you play whatever video game that you're doing that the front offices do and prepare for the next season. And Luis Arraez doesn't fit in any of those. And you make really valid points for them. I mean, for the record, he was 13th in the National League last year in on base percentage. And that's really where he would have to live if he's going to be a singles hitter. And that's like his stat would be on base percentage. Because the name of the game is not hitting home runs. It's just not recording outs. Like, that is the name of the game. Now, people will say what name of the game is to score runs. I beg to differ. The name of the game is to not record outs. The rest of the stuff will come with it. But in this case, you know, 13th on base percentage in the National League at a 346 this year is not enough when you can't do all the rest of it. When you can't steal bases, you can't play defense, and you don't hit, you know, multiple doubles or multiple base hits. So I see where you are go there, but selfishly, I love watching him at bat. Selfishly, I love watching him bat because it's a different style. It takes me back to the old style of baseball. I understand and I agree with you that it doesn't fit now. I'm with you, but it reminds me of the Ichiros. It reminds me of the Tony Gwynns in that aspect, just because it's the old school baseball style. And I do think that it works in some spots, and that's where it leads to me. I think he fits perfectly in one of those players, legends that I just mentioned, and it's not San Diego because he's there right now. He fits perfectly in a place like Seattle, not New York, Seattle, a ballpark that the team struggles with strikeouts. Well, I have an answer for you, Luis Arraez. To me, if you're going to trade Luis Arraez, and I think the Padres do, because I think you got to move on from him. It's an expiring contract. You are going to have some money issues regardless of the lawsuits coming in. That's not going to get solved anytime soon, probably this offseason. You move on for Luis Arraez. Seattle is begging to find a way to get back into the postseason. I think he's a perfect fit there. In my opinion, if Luis Arraez goes to the Mariners, we will never see him traded again.
Yeah, I can 100% see that. I mean, he would be their next Ichiro, just no defense behind it. But no, I agree 100% that it's different stylistically. And you and I are both wrestling fans to a point. And in wrestling, styles make a match. And in sports and really everything, styles bring the entertainment. Different styles of things bring the entertainment because you're not seeing 100 guys do the same thing each and every time they step to the plate. And so I agree with you on the style thing, but just outside of the style thing, it's just an empty on base percentage. And like you said, 346, having an on base percentage of 346 and a slug less than 400. That's not going to cut it.
If you're Seattle and you know that you can have the opportunity to get a guy that is going to get you 200 hits, will not strike out a lot, hopefully set your lineup up in a right way, and I think would surge your team to help you get into the playoffs. I think he fits perfectly with that offense right now. Are you willing to move on from one of your pitchers to make it happen?
Ooh, I don't know if I would move on from one of the pitchers. Maybe a, even for Seattle, I think maybe a middle-tier prospect that may or may not ever make it, maybe a couple of middle tier prospects that you really have, like somebody that's blocked by Julio Rodriguez or some of those pitchers that are already in the majors, something like that, just because of how invaluable he is, even to Seattle. While he would be an addition, and it is a position of need for them at second base, it's not like he doesn't bring enough to the table offensively to move on from a major league caliber, going to win you multiple ball games pitcher, which is pretty much the entirety of Seattle's rotation.
What San Diego is going to look for is years of control, not money, because obviously they're looking to cut payroll. So that would something to be keep in mind if they're moving on from guys like Arise, and I'm sure they're going to move on from a couple others. I have a feeling once some of these free agents all get settled and the losers of the Pete Alonso sweepstakes and the Alex Bregman sweepstakes and some of the other ones that are still out there, when the losers are looking to still improve their roster and there's no valuable pieces left, they're going to look to the trade market. And I think that's when San Diego is going to start picking up the phone. So keep in mind, I do think we're going to see another new team for Luis Arraez. It'll be interesting to see if he wins the batting championship again, if he does with a different team. I mean, that's impressive, whether you like it or not. Now, you can maybe not like how we reward the batting champion, but in the eyes of what he's done over the past couple of years, is still impressive. But at a data standpoint, I'm with you. So I agree and disagree with your crazy takes. I really do, Troy. Okay, so Seattle, obviously we said if Arraez moves, I think they'd have to move some pitching. That's where I personally stand on that one because of years of control. Speaking of pitching, let's shift over and to go into the Central a little bit, the American League Central. The Royals announced that they're bringing back, and it looks like they're bringing back their whole rotation for 2024. Michael Lorenzen comes on a one-year deal. I think it was, what, $7 million? I don't have the tweet in front of me right now.
Yes.
$7 million contract for Michael Lorenzen. 33-year-old guy. I thought he was a great asset coming over from the Rangers, I believe. That's where you came from on the trade deadline. He's been on a couple teams. I think he was with the Rangers and then came on the trade deadline to the Royals. Am I right there? Yeah.
Okay, yes, yeah, traded from Texas to the Royals at the deadline.
Yep. Okay, gotcha. He's been with a couple teams. So, and we started with the Reds, and that was initially where my mind came because he started a Red. But yeah, this team, this Royals rotation was great all season long. They got into the postseason, and I mean they faltered a little bit, but overall, it's one of their strong suits, and they're still building. I think they're still honestly overachieving. I think that they shouldn't have been as good as they were in 2024. I think they have the opportunity to finally get back to the postseason again. And I think we can finally say maybe they're not overachieving. I think they finally have a good roster. And I really like this rotation. And I think that this is going to be another strong suit to continue to add around Bobby Witt Jr. I would like to see them add one more piece to maybe get another bat to protect Bobby Witt a little more. But other than that, and again, I've said this on this show a few times. I think I said it last week too. I am terrible at predicting the American League Central, but it is very hard not to think the Royals are a favorite after seeing this rotation come back, after seeing Cleveland take a step back, after not knowing what the Twins are going to do. The Twins seem up in the air. So it's really hard for me not to say that I like what the Royals are doing, not just kind of the kind of whole running it back portion. I love it. And I think that right now, if I had to make a prediction, I'd pick the Royals to win the American League Central.
Yeah, I don't think you're pretty far off on that because they do have a really solid team. They did add Jonathan India earlier this offseason, and Fangraphs currently has him slated to lead off, and he has a 12.6 walk rate had a 12.6 walk rate in 2024. So that is a solid person to be batting ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. And then adding re-signing Michael Lorenzen to keep the rotation the same is also huge because I'm looking at their rotation now, and in 2024 – they only had one guy with an ERA above 4 as a starting pitcher, and that was Alec Marsh with a 4.53 ERA. All of their other starters had 3 ERAs or were less than 3.5 ERAs, including Michael Lorenzen, who, by the way, threw a no-hitter for the Philadelphia Phillies in 2023.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fun rotation again next season. Cole Reagans, what a trade he was. Another Texas Ranger trade. What a trade for getting him. Seth Lugo had a career year last year. Michael Wacha stepped up. He did some really good things. So I like where this rotation is going into 2025. It's a little bit older, though, so they don't have much time to waste, especially in the middle of that rotation with Lugo, Wacha, and or I mean, Anthony and Kansas City. I mean, how cool would that be? I mean, that'd be a fun piece. I wouldn't be mad at that one whatsoever. So I don't think that'll happen. I don't think Kansas City is going to be willing to spend. but it would sure be interesting and sure be fun to see a guy like Santander go to Kansas City with guys against like Hunter Renfro, with Vinny Pascantino, Bobby Witt. I'd really like to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. His power would take a drastic hit if he went to Kansas City
hitting
that ballpark. He would not that I expect him to reach 40 home runs again in his career, regardless of where he goes, but I don't think he definitely wouldn't reach 40 in Kauffman Stadium, but that would be a good addition to their lineup to close out the offseason with.
Well, let's close out this show. MLB.com beat writer John Denton of the St. Louis Cardinals reports that Nolan Arenado, third baseman, has informed the club that he would waive his no-trade clause and accept a deal if that deal was to go to the Boston Red Sox. Now, the Boston Red Sox obviously in some sort of contention to Alex Bregman, you'd think, but if the Alex Bregman deal falls through or maybe gets too expensive, you could look for a veteran like Nolan Arenado, a platinum gold glove winner. You've seen him. He's one of the best defenders at the third base position in the history of the game. And I'm not saying that because I like the Cardinals. I'm saying that because that's a fact. He's an outstanding third baseman, obviously on the downside of his career, but with going to Fenway, I think it would really help his batting stance. He's a good pull hitter. I would be interested to see him going there. It'd be fun to watch him go to third, move Devers to first. There would be obviously some sort of conversation of what you do with Tristan Cassis, but Nolan Arenado to Boston, it makes a lot of sense in my mind. How about you?
Yeah, I would like Nolan Arenado in Boston. I think that's a good fit, especially because it would move Rafael Devers to first, and it wouldn't be the first former Rocky of the last few years to be joining the Boston Red Sox, as Trevor Story's already there. So, you know, he'd be rejoining Trevor Story up there in Beantown. But I would like that fit of Nolan Arenado, especially hitting over the Green Monster and just the defense, the massive defensive improvement that he would be at third base over Rafael Devers.
If the Yankees DFA DJ LeMahieu in 2025, did the Red Sox pick him up just for nostalgia then? If they get Arenado, just run it back, maybe even ask Charlie Blackman to unretire? Like, does that happen?
It's just the new Colorado Rockies are just stationed up in Boston. They're just doing it for S's and G's.
When DFS started getting popular back in like the early 2010s ish or whatever, that Colorado stack with LeMahieu and Blackman and Arenado and Story, it was unbeatable. The late night slates with Colorado and DFS, unbeatable. And they always undervalued them, which I never understood. Played it every time. And I thank DraftKings and FanDuel for letting me collect a lot of money on that. Interesting. I'm really excited to see what happens here. I think we're starting to heat up. I think the stove, I'm surprised there's still propane in it, Troy, because the stove has been hot for quite some time. And I don't think we're done. I think it's going to keep going.
We're not done right now. You remember how Lindsay and I broke a move in that one episode with Yusei Kikuchi to the Angels?
Yeah.
You want to break one right now? It's the Texas Rangers announced the signing of veteran reliever Chris Martin to a one-year deal.
Oh, well, the record was broken. So Chris Martin, okay, former Boston Red Sox, right? Okay.
Yep.
They
DFA'd Matt Festa to open a 40-man spot, and he's from Arlington. Chris Martin is, so he's a hometown boy.
Yep, older gentleman trying to get his last run going to Texas. Hey, Texas was just one bad year removed from winning the World Series, and that bad year consisted of a crap ton of injuries, Troy. So, I mean, we're still not sure what Houston's got in store. After moving on from Kyle Tucker, we don't know what the status of them are going to be. A lot of people are down on their pitching. I think their pitching's still great. I don't think that their pitching overall is as good as it was in the past, but they still have a good top heavy of their rotation. The top side of the rotation is still good. But overall, I think there's still a little bit of questions. I think that's fair to say. But yeah. Texas, I like where they're at. I think they can get right back in the competing in the American League West, and adding good pieces in the bullpen like a veteran guy like Chris Martin, definitely not going to hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another division that's really wide open. Honestly, the entire American League, each division is pretty wide open, except the East. I think you can probably pencil in the Yankees to win the East, but the Orioles still have a chance. If the Red Sox make the Arenado move, I think they have a good chance of being contenders. The Blue Jays are always pesky. The Rays exist in the Central. Like you said, there's really, I mean, you could throw a dart with a blindfold on and probably pick the team who's going to win that division better than actually looking at anything. And then the West, with the steps back that the Astros have taken, they do still have Yordan Alvarez, who I believe is the best hitter in baseball, but they've taken a bunch of steps back this offseason, and so I think that division is a lot more open for grabs than it has been in years past, especially with teams like the Angels and the Sacramento Athletics making improvements to their roster this offseason. So it's going to be fun in the American League. I don't think the World Series winner is coming out of the American League, but it's going to be a fun season regardless for the American League.
It's so weird to hear Sacramento Athletics, and I'm sure that's exactly why MLB's like, just call them the Athletics. That sounds terrible. I'm sure it's exactly why. I'll be back here with another episode tomorrow on First Pitch. Maybe we'll have some new news to break, and maybe we'll have Luis Arraez going to the Philadelphia Phillies like Troy just obviously predicted. Just kidding. No doubt about that. But other than that, folks, we'll see you back here next time in another episode of First Pitch.